Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
More than your armpits will hurt if you don't shut your pie hole. I wanted this to be special for him, and all you can do is whine. One more thing. Manny stepped up and ran the Spirit Squad for you when you were too self-involved. All she wanted was a thank you. But could you give her that? Oh, no. She was horrible to me. But can you tell me why you had to be more horrible back? Why you always have to be more horrible?
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of everyone's favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. So, after three seasons of Junior High, two seasons of Degrassi High, the School's Out movie, and four seasons of TNG, we finally made it to the Kevin Smith episodes.
Are they
well done or complete and utter dog shit? Let's find out. You'll quickly learn which side of the fence I lean on.
How Barry feels.
Yep. So I'm going to host this one. My name is Barry. At the end of the show, you'll find out how to follow me, but I won't tell you right now. We have all the usual suspects around for this one, so let's go around the horn for the intros, and we'll start in Torbay, I guess.
Oh, that'd be me. Me and Linda, Ted and Linda. So Linda's on this podcast, so that's going back to your your dog shit. She's like an aficionado, so no spoiling it if it is or it isn't. But Linda's got a few things to say. She's here right next to me. Isn't that right, Linda?
Right. That's right, Ted.
So yeah, we're here in the house. Let's roll that dismembered penis right all the way to O-Town. Who is that?
Hello, everybody. Yes, it is me here in O-Town. No dogs to speak of. I'm actually really looking forward to this episode, in particular Barry's commentary, because Paige is a beaut. Such a beaut. So that's all I got to say. Might as well head on down the 416 to the 401.
That's right. Get it right.
Merge.
Sorry.
Get your words correct. Hi, everybody. Alan in Toronto. And I'm going to do a quick plug in a couple of weeks. April 15th, to be exact, that's a Friday night. In fact, that is Good Friday, and it's going to be a great Friday for all of our fans.
And Jesus.
Yeah, we're celebrating Good Friday.
You know what happened on Good Friday, right?
It's Good Friday, right?
Something good, right?
Yeah,
good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Get your hot cross buns out, everybody, and join us. Friday evening, April 15th, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, we're going to live broadcast as we go through. This is actually the first episode with Kevin Smith, but the next two episodes are kind of the official Kevin Smith episodes of Degrassi that we're going to review, and also the end of season four. So, yeah, go to Facebook. We have a group there, Narbos and Broomheads, and the event page will be linked to that. Join the event and come share some laughs with us. On Good Friday, the day of laughter, right? Is that
That's yeah. Christian canon.
Yeah.
The Day of Laughter.
And it's over to Regina.
Hey, everybody. It's Arlo from Regina. When Ted was saying stuff about the detachable penis running down the road, I was thinking that it's very apt because the next two episodes, not including this one, are actually called Going Down the Road. And I believe they're about Rick's penis. So.
Rolling down the road.
I thought they would have been called Detachable Penis.
Which is a song.
Yeah, yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but it's not, unfortunately. And, like, Degrassi uses song titles for their episodes, so... Mm-hmm. Detachable Penis. Yeah.
Detachable Penis. Great.
All right.
What a jam.
Fantastic. So, before we get into these episodes, let's talk a little bit about Kevin Smith and his love for Degrassi. He says he first fell in love with the show in the 80s when he was working as a clerk at the Quick Stop in New Jersey, which is the same place where the movie Clerks was filmed. He and Jason Mewes, who played Jay, were putting newspapers together on Sunday mornings at the store. It was very boring work, so they brought in a TV with rabbit ears to see what they'd be able to watch and what they could pick up. And lo and behold, during that time on PBS at 11 a.m., they showed Degrassi. So at first they were watching, they were kind of making fun of it. But as they watched more, they fell in love with the characters. And Kevin admitted to have a huge crush on Caitlin.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was a Liz guy. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought he was more of a LD guy.
LD, but, yeah.
But I'm sure if he rewatched it now, he probably would change his opinion on Caitlin. He's references Degrassi in many of his movies. Shannon Elizabeth's character in Mallrats has a Degrassi jacket, but it's not the
Shannon,
one that you see.
Shannon Doherty.
Shannon Doherty. Sorry.
Shannon Elizabeth is in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yes, you're right. I got that mixed up. So she's Boo Boo Kitty Fuck, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Yeah. But it's not the same jacket that Dwayne wears. You know, one thing with those jackets, Dwayne and Tabby were only two that ever wear them in the school. I don't understand why they're the only two to wear those jackets.
Didn't, what's his name, Scott have one?
Oh, maybe he did.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just the baddies.
Yeah.
Wear those jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Bad biddies.
Yeah, one of the characters in Clerks is named after Caitlin. Chasing Amy, Jason Lee says he has plans for tonight are eating pizza and watching Degrassi.
He wanted to have Stacy Mystician do the Shannon Doherty role.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, he wanted her to be cast in that role, and the studio was like, you need somebody more famous, and so that's why it was Shannon Doherty.
Okay, there you go. So when Kevin Smith heard the show was getting a reboot, he reached out to Linda about writing or directing some episodes. He actually had an idea of Joey and Caitlin getting married, so I'm kind of glad that one got nixed. But unfortunately,
How is he gonna suck face with Caitlin if she's getting married to Joey? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Come on now.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was unable to do the show because the show received funds from Telefilm Canada, and part of the rules of that was it had to be Canadian writers and directors. So there you go.
What's interesting about all that intro is that there's none of that in this episode. Kevin Smith just shows up, and everybody is just supposed to know who he is.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, we all know, I'm assuming, that we're all familiar in different ways with Kevin Smith, because his most famous movies came out in our formative years. But somebody who is 12 watching The Next Generation in 2005 or whatever, Kevin Smith's heyday was behind him at that point, right? So they don't say, like, this is a director Kevin Smith, this, you know, he's a famous director from, like, and it's all kind of they make it like it's Kevin Smith, like the guy in real life, except that they have some creative changes. For example, Kevin Smith is married and was married at the time that these were shot, but, like, there's actual conversation in the following episode to this one where he talks about how he's not married. So they could have just bullshitted him and been like, it's famous director Kevin Smith from Los Angeles. Yeah. But, like, there's none of that. He's just there and we're supposed to know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So thank
but
you.
But then I wonder if people do know who he is despite, like, his heyday was when we were younger. And so, you know, you would assume that kids don't know who he is, but.
like for me, like when I watched it, I was like, oh, it's Kevin Smith, and I'm a big fan, so I knew the whole story. But I, again, like, you can't assume that everybody knows the same piece of information, right?
Oh, yes, that's true.
And again, Kevin that's Smith true. Is a celebrity, but he's not an A-list celebrity. It's not like he's fucking Madonna, and you're like, oh, like, it's Madonna. Like, it's Kevin Smith's a few rungs down the ladder, right?
Yeah, I'm sure, like, one 20-year-old listener isn't like, oh, yeah, I saw Yoga Hosers. It's
great. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, so, but anyway, finally, in 2004, Linda offered Kevin to do a cameo in a 3-episode arc, the first of which we're about to talk about. These episodes almost come across as Kevin Smith fan fiction. That he wrote back when he was working at the Quit Star.
Yeah.
I guess it was his fan fiction. He would have ended up with Caitlin, but anyway.
Like, he, yeah, but he literally writes himself into a position to, like, make out with her.
Like, yeah. Can you imagine the gross discussions to get him on the show? Like, yes, I will be, but I have to make out with Caitlin. That's the only way I'm going to be on the show.
Yeah. And also,
Cassie Steele is pretty hot, too. I wouldn't mind having a scantily clad Cassie Smith. Or steel in my arms.
Yeah. I mean, it gets, this episode is the tamest one. It gets highly problematic in the next couple of episodes with this. But yeah, like, this guy is basically writing his own fucking, like, jerk off fantasy around Degrassi. Like, that's,
it's gross. Like, it's classic. Like, yeah, like, he's in a position to do so. And he is taking advantage of that.
The other thing is, so it's not in this episode, but in the next 2 episodes, he's going to be shooting a Kevin Smith movie. That's the idea, right? Except it's a Kevin Smith movie without cussing, and a Kevin Smith movie without cussing is nothing. Like,
that's right.
That's the whole point.
Weed, dick, and fart joke.
Yeah.
Swearing, eh? So, but he ends up being the catalyst for the breakup of the franchise's longest and arguably, certainly not in this podcast, but arguably the most popular couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there you go. He's a fan of the show. He ends up being a guy who breaks up the infamous
couple. Do
any of
you watch Kevin Smith's, like, comic store nerd show?
I do.
I forget what it's called.
I think it's just called Comic Book Men. I don't watch it religiously, but I've seen some episodes, yeah.
My husband likes it. He finds it relaxing.
I mean, most of the Kevin Smith content, even now, is usually not bad. If you really want to get deep into it, there's also a whole bunch of content that Kevin Smith has been involved in that has never been produced. And in fact, I believe there's a Wikipedia page, a long one, that is list of unfinished projects by Kevin Smith.
Well, if you're interested in Kevin Smith projects that are specifically Canadian content based, he has specifically a Canadian based horror trilogy, which the first one is Tusk in 2014. And then there was Yoga Hosers in 2016, which I'm sure has its fans, but I can't personally recommend it to you. And then apparently the third film in the True North trilogy will be called Moose Jaws, and it has not been finished at this point.
Yeah. He did another movie in, it was released in 2011. I'm trying to find it. It was a horror movie. I actually saw it. He did a live, he took it on tour with him. It was called Red State. Red State was actually pretty good. So just saying. The Jay and Silent Bob reboot that he did in 2019 is dog shit. So.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I'm a fan of his work, but I mean, I was even fond with him being on Degrassi, but it didn't need to be a central arc story. It just been like, they were doing the movie and that was it, not this Caitlin stuff and,
well, and
going
I hate,
to the prom and all this shit.
I hate writing in my notes like, then Kevin Smith does this. Kevin Smith does that. It's like, it feels weird, right? Like, you're writing about this real person that's in every scene, and it's him. Like, he's trying to be himself, which, yeah. Kevin Smith is a big, he is pretty obsessed with Canada. He went to film school in Vancouver briefly. He ended up dropping out and just ended up financing Clerks with credit cards and becoming famous, but his longtime producer Scott Mosier is Canadian, and so he's also one of the original podcasters. So the Kevin Smith podcast called Smodcast was like, podcasting was a thing, but it wasn't a big thing, obviously, like 10 or 15 years ago, and Kevin Smith had the first one of the first kind of major ones. So
And I think we're introduced to him in this episode, and he drops some pretty, like, stereotypical Canadian content.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's the point in a movie, though, I think.
What are you talking about, eh?
Well, also, so he does all this goofy Canadian content. I, this is all in the next episode, like, but he does all this Canadian content, and it's all stereotypical stuff, which we as Canadians are like, oh, it's so funny. And I mean, I'm sure that it's even worse for Ted and Barry with all the Newfoundland jokes, which, like, imagine if I wrote a show for Newfoundland and then put in all the fucking stereotypes in it as, like, comedy. It's like, that's, you know, like the primary audience is watching it going, like, that's not funny.
That's basically the Canadian movie industry for Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Because they'll write it in and it makes no sense. Like, they'll have a movie placed here and they'll have actors who are from here, some, but then people who aren't from here and kind of go like, huh? They talk different. Huh? What do you say? You like that stuff? Come on.
Yeah.
Say what do you ask?
Say what do you have? Bye. Come on, say it.
Say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to our campus. Anything else for? Should we just jump in?
Question. Yep. Back when Narbos and Broomheads first started, Alan had mentioned about possibly having Kevin Smith on this podcast. Is that in or is that out? Is that still a thing?
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. That's kind of what I figured. I figured that ship has sailed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'll send him a note on Twitter and see.
Yes.
Kevin Smith, again, one of the Twitter originals, too, kind of. Now everybody has more followers than him. At one point in time, he was one of the top Twitter follows in the early days. So
I don't.
Uh-huh. Always comparing yourself to Kevin Smith.
Can't help it.
Hey. So, we have West End Girls, the 20th episode of the fourth season, aka 420. Is that a coincidence, do we think?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, Kevin Smith, you know.
Yep.
Weed guy in the 420 episode. This is directed by Phil Earnshaw. It was written by Shelley Scarrow, although Kevin Smith has alluded to the fact that he had a hand in running these episodes.
Of course he did.
In interviews, but I guess he, due to Telefilm Canada's strict guidelines, he couldn't officially get a writing credit on it. West End Girls, the song. Alan, can you tell us about it and the obvious connection it has to the content of this episode?
I'm going to pass it over to Ted. I do another podcast called Super Hits Podcast, which you should all check out, covering a different single every week. And both Ted and Barry have been on it. When Ted was on, we covered another Pet Shop Boys song called What Have I Done to Deserve This, which you should check out because it was great. But Ted, you are probably a bigger Pet Shop Boys fan than me, so talk about West End Girls.
I do enjoy this song. Now, I don't really know, looking through the lyrics, like there's nothing. I mean, the first line is sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand. It's pointing at your head. I think this would be better for, actually change head to like.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we go for that. No, there's really no, I mean, this was one of their humongous hits. There's nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. So yeah.
That's like, a shock. That's a real
shock. I know, right?
I mean, on like a deep level, the song is about, like, I think you mentioned it briefly on the previous episode, which is like inner city pressure.
Well, that's the Flight of the Concorde song that parodies it.
Yeah. It is somewhat about that.
It is about the city, like urban.
The actual song, yeah.
Yes.
But like sort of on a like a surface level, it's about like sketchy dudes getting with posh girls, basically.
Hmm. Exactly.
Which has nothing to do with this episode.
Which all the same has nothing to do with the show.
It has the word girls in the title. Like, that's all that I can.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Pet Shop Boys have a song called Go West too? Or
something? Well, it's a cover of
Village People.
Village People, yeah.
I was confused by that in the 90s when that came out because I was like, this is a jam, but isn't this like a Village People song? Yeah.
Yeah. Intercity Pressure, by the way, by Flight of the Conchords. Go and listen to it. It's great.
It's fantastic. The video is fantastic as well.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So should we jump in?
Please.
Yeah, baby.
All right. So we open to the Spirit Squad practice. For some reason, some cheerleaders in uniforms and others are not. So I don't understand that. They're doing their routine. Someone says, "Go us." So that's a good cheer. So as they're working, Paige is fucking up all the choreography. Mm-hmm. Manny does this super flip, and it's definitely not a stunt double.
So Cassie Steele, all her own stunts.
Yep. So Ms. H is there, and she's super impressed at the routine. And this is one of the few times a teacher is present supervising an extracurricular activity. Mm-hmm. So she says, once the students see this, they will not want to take summer vacation. I'm like, what? They're going to want to stay.
Weird thing to say.
Yeah, uh-huh. We'll stay in school and watch this shit for 3 months.
and then in other dialogue that people would never say, Darcy's like, Manny's choreography is better than a day at the beach. Like, yeah. What? Who wrote this dialogue? Like,
Kenji said specifically Wasaga Beach in November.
And did any of us have cheerleaders in high school? Like, we did not have cheerleaders.
We did not.
We did.
Oh, yeah, we did for 1 year. When we had a senior hockey team, there was cheerleaders for that.
Oh.
They weren't like, it wasn't like cheerleaders like in the States or something. Like, they were like not like all the popular kids or anything like that. Like, they were like kids that like saw Bring It On or something and wanted to have a cheer squad kind of thing.
None of these big flips and all that like they're doing here.
Yeah, they didn't like cheer at games or anything like that. Like, it wasn't, they were trying, like, they, I mean, I guess they had the support of the school, but they were kind of trying to get into, like, competitive cheerleading.
They were secret cheerleaders.
In Winnipeg? In Winnipeg. What fucking competitive cheerleading league was there in Winnipeg? And I can say that because I was there. Like, I'm not familiar with this.
I was a very small person in high school, so they tried to get me to be, like, a flyer for them, where they, like, the person that you throw into the air. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah.
So Paige, being the wonderful person she is, doesn't like Manny getting all the credit, so she jumps in and says that she adores everyone and thanks them for her hard work. So Ms. H says thanks to Paige, and Manny says, and she's not saying this under her breath, she's saying it loud enough for everyone to hear, including Ms. H, for a big fat pile of nothing. And we all know she wanted to say a big fat pile of shit. But I guess she couldn't say that here. And in true Degrassi fashion, Ms. H does nothing about this and just walks away. That's what the teachers do. The students will figure that out.
She's like, I'm not worried.
She's like, I turned the school around already.
My job, my work here is done.
Yeah, mic dropped. She dropped the mic and walked out. So Paige gets in Manny's face and asks her if she got something to say. Manny kind of backs down, but not really. She's like, gosh, no, Paige, it is all you. And you just feel the sarcasm dripping from her voice.
So what's the backstory here? Paige has not been around.
Yeah, so we'll get into that. Apparently, for the last 3 months, Paige hasn't showed up, and then she shows up again as the captain, and then she expects
everyone to listen. Well, Paige has been too busy sneaking around with her gross pedophile boyfriend.
Like, this part I don't quite understand. Like, Paige, yes, she's been with Mr. Oleander or whatever, right? But
Oleander.
But does that mean that she just misses activities? Like, I don't... Right? Yes. It's not like she's been sick or, you know, dealing with counseling.
She's been shirking off her responsibilities on Manny, Manny has been...
She just hasn't been there for 3 months. Like, wouldn't she just be like, you're not on the squad anymore? So...
Well, she's the captain.
You can't not go for 3 months, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
there isn't any teacher supervision, so I guess she can do whatever.
Like, I'm assuming that if Connor McDavid doesn't show up for the Oilers for 3 months with no explanation, he's probably probably not. They need him really bad.
That's a bad example.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it doesn't make much sense. But again, what does make sense?
So what is logic in this universe?
That's right. What is time? Yeah, no, anyway, so we got our credits. So we go to the scene now. We got Manny. She's complaining to Emma about Paige. Says some comment about peeing in the foyer, and Paige gave her would take credit for giving her the water or something like that. I didn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Paige takes credit for everything. And then we got poor Toby, who finally gets a few lines after God knows how long. and he's trying to ask Manny to the prom. And he says, if you're my prom date, Paige is getting no credit for me. So it's a smooth, smooth line there, Toby.
Like, Manny, please talk about urinating more.
When you talk about pissing, Manny, it just does it for a little incel Toby.
Yeah, and I feel bad for poor Toby. He doesn't have much luck.
I do not feel bad for him. We'll get to it.
Well, okay. Since when is he into Manny at all, right?
Yep.
I don't think he has much luck.
I feel like he's just into any warm body at this point. Manny happens to be the one standing in front of him at this exact moment. Yeah. So
he's teenage horny.
He has little luck, and kind of, I guess, brings you back to me and my little bit of luck. I don't know if I've ever told the story before, but I remember one time I was at a volleyball tournament, and I was there, and I was walking into the cafeteria, and there's this girl staring at me, and this was a different school, and I was like, oh, geez, well, she's staring at me, and I started staring back, and I was walking by. She says to me, what the fuck are you looking at, nerd? I'm like, geez. That was borderline. I'm like, I'm just going to get a drink, and they're all laughing, and I walk out, and I say, good, geez. That's good for my self-confidence.
So this would have happened before you had the night moves that you talked about on Super Hits Podcast.
Yeah. Before my glow up, I guess, if you will. So, anyway. Did I ever tell that before?
Nope.
No, I've never heard that before. Yeah. And I've known you over 20 years. You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, it's probably the reason why I never tell that story.
It's canon now. You fucking geek.
Yeah. All right, someone is enjoying that way too much.
Yes.
All right.
Just because it's you, Barry. Like, you're the sweetest person ever.
Yeah. No, she didn't know me, and she didn't think much. Sorry.
Oh my god, crazy.
Where are we here? So Toby's trying to ask poor Manny to the prom. Manny changes the subject and says she's been running practice for months, and Paige finally shows up, and she's hogging the glory. And like I wrote, I'm surprised she's still the captain if this is the case. Like, there's no way, like Alan said, there's no way you'd be the captain if you weren't there for 3 months.
Yeah, and so. Again, we see this throughout the episode, and we've talked about this before. The Spirit Squad that has no adult responsible for it. Like, if Paige is not there, no one has any authority to make a change.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, yeah.
So Toby says to Manny, you didn't hear me ask you to the prom? And Manny is got zero interest in poor Toby. And she's trying to let him down easy, but then Marco swoops in and saves the day by interrupting, saying that he is Manny's date. And I said, Marco's dad is going to be so happy about that.
Uh-huh. Oh, Marco, okay, that's the one that fucks. I know that one.
Since when are Manny and Marco friends, first of all?
Oh, yeah. They're talking like, who's going? Who's the gang and all this, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him poor Toby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has she ever shown any interest in you romantically whatsoever?
Yep.
I look at more as if Toby has no success. And maybe I could attribute it to me before my glow up.
Well, maybe he would have success if he asked out girls who showed even the remotest amount of interest in him.
Well, you had that one. What was Spinner's sister? What was her
Kendra.
Name?
Kendra, but she's Kendra, yeah. But she's dead now. So
that's right. She had to go to her home planet.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Yeah,
she stole all his mojo.
Exactly. I'm still on this Manny going with Marco and Marco's dad. Like, Craig tells me she fucks you, Marco. You're gonna have a good time.
Again, Manny is very grateful about the save and asks Marco who was going. She says Jimmy, Hazel, and Paige is bringing. Is Matt the guy's name or Max? Is Matt?
Matt. She's taking Matt to the fucking prom.
Matt,
how the fuck is this guy even allowed into school?
Allowed to go to the prom, exactly.
Why would he go? Like, what kind of fucking loser are you? That's like, it's already bad enough that you're going out with the kid, but you were the teacher and you got fired, and now you're like, yeah, I'll go to prom at the same school.
I really want to hang out with your friends, Paige.
Like,
yeah, I'm a fucking disgrace, but let me go. Yeah,
I can't. Like, he mentions his parents, Mr. Oleander does. And he, like, I can't imagine going, well, I lost my future and all that stuff. Well, Matthew, what are you doing this evening? I'm going to the prom with a girl who I fucked around with and I got fired and I lost everything. But I'm going to the prom. You want to take a picture of us? stupid.
Oh, it's the dumbest shit ever.
So stupid.
So there's a sign there that says, get your 2004 yearbooks complete with the smell of lighter fluid.
That's extra.
Yeah. So the kids that smoke when he opens up and he lights up the cigarette, the whole book of this golden flames. So Manny's talking to Hazel and says she's happy to be going with Marco, calls him a dream date, which I got the question. I guess she got no interest romantically with anybody right now. But she's worried Paige is going to eat her alive. And Hazel says it's because you got a boyfriend fired from teaching. And I said, no, Hazel. Mr. O's antics and his obsession with getting caught did that in.
Yes, it was not Manny's fault. Sure. Like, it was all your fault, Manny. It would have been fine for this teacher to fuck the student if it weren't for you calling it out. You're the bad one.
Yeah. So Hazel says Manny wants Hazel to play peacemaker. Hazel says they're going shopping at Pretty Pretty tonight, and perhaps they can accidentally run into him because shopping makes Paige emotional. I'm like, what?
What? Exactly. That's exactly what my notes say. Shopping makes Paige emotional. What?
Yeah, so I don't get that. And also, why does Manny give a fuck about wanting to appease Paige? Like, what's the deal here? Like, what does she care?
Well, she wants it to be a peaceful prom night with all the friends. But I mean, again, Manny sometimes is confident enough to be like, you know what? Fuck Paige. Like, who gives a shit what she thinks? And now here, though, she's like, I want peace. Like, there's no consistency here.
Yeah, well, with all these people that she's never been friends with, like, I don't... Anyway.
Yeah.
I figured she'd do the thing they used to do in high school back in the day. They go, peace, and give you the peace symbol, and they go, here's your half, and give you a middle finger. Classic.
Yeah. So, we cut to the cock. C-K-J-H.
Yeah, C-K-O-J-H. The cock.
So, Caitlin is interviewing the one and only Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. And we learn he's shooting a movie called Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian A. Which actually, that's a pretty clever title.
They don't even use the term like, I'm here with director Kevin Smith, right? It's just, she's just in mid-conversation with this guy, and he's like, I'm shooting a movie, and it's called Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian, eh? Which, again, for a Kevin Smith fan, you'd be like, oh, yeah. But a lot of people would be like, the fuck are Jay and Silent Bob? What is this? Like, what is happening here?
No introduction. It's the assumption everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and I guess we learned that his movie company or whatever is not very good because as they get there, half their locations dropped out. You figure that's something you want to have sewn up before you head to the other country.
Well, now that being said, I mean, this was not happening at the time, but these days Kevin Smith is pretty much doing these on his own. Like, I'm sure he has, you know, people who do some of the work for him, but his movies have been largely independent for a while. So
okay, mm-hmm. So. He says if anybody has, and this is what Courtney alluded to about the Canadian stereotypes. So if anybody has a beer factory, a hockey rink, a donut shop, a strip club, or a school, call Kevin.
How convenient that they need a school.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a school, Craig said.
Craig happens to be there for no reason. I guess he's allowed to hang out at the cock because of the size of his, maybe. I don't know.
The station was named after me.
The cock, J.H.
So after the interview, Caitlin introduces him as his stepson, or sort of stepson, and Craig is very starstruck. Caitlin says that Craig went to her former school, Degrassi. Maybe you've heard of it. And I said, how the fuck would Kevin Smith from New Jersey hear about some random high school in Toronto? Unless he's like, oh, you mean the one that was there's a school shooting?
You mean the dead janitor, the burned up janitor in the basement?
Or maybe Caitlin was like, maybe you heard of it, because when I went to this school, we were a TV show and you watched it. Like,
maybe you've heard of it. I have lived in Regina for 12 years, and I cannot name you one high school in the city.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
very weird.
The only way you would have heard of it is because you heard about a school shooting in Toronto. Oh, yeah. And I'll say, oh, that's the place I want to shoot my movie, where the school shooting was.
I also like how it's the name of the, like, it's the same school that Caitlin went to in name only, really. Like, yeah. It's clearly not the same school.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So Craig says his girlfriend and him is planning on playing prom, so you should check out the school. So I guess he can just invite people to the school at prom night.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
And Kevin Smith is like, I have nothing better to do. I'll just go to the high school prom then. Sounds cool. Yep. Like,
yeah.
What?
And he hears that Craig's a musician and a fabulous one, according to Caitlin. He invites him to audition to do music for his film. There you go. So Kevin Smith, who's had more stay in the time, which is often referenced by Ted and myself in our chat.
Yes.
Bon Jovi, Afro Man, all these different places, all these different bands, decides to give some random kid from some random school the job of doing the music for his new film. This just makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's sort of it is sort of planting the seeds that he's got the hots for Caitlin, and he's trying to make do good by her by giving their steps on some
I suppose. And we see very quickly, so I don't exactly know how this happened. I'm assuming that Kevin Smith is coming to town, the media outlets are notified, Caitlin gets the assignment. But like Kevin Smith is like really invested in Caitlin after doing this interview and her fucking kid and the school, and like he's just automatically in this universe, and it's like it's Kevin Smith, so maybe at the time you're like, oh, that's kind of neat because he loves Degrassi, but in real life I'd be like, this is weird, like it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So we go to Pretty, and we see Hazel trying to get helping Paige into a dress. She has to squeeze because she wants the extra small dress. I don't know why, but I guess it feels good to get a small dress. I don't know. She pops out to look at the dress, and lo and behold, Manny is there as they planned, but unfortunately, she is trying on the same dress. Of course, Paige is going to be very mature about this. That's what you'd think, but no, she's super pissed, tells Manny to take it off and get out of her airspace.
And she's mad, too, because Manny is wearing a smaller dress than she is, so.
Oh, okay, there you go. Is that the extra small, is it?
Yeah, that's the extra. She's like, is that the extra small? So Manny's wearing the smaller dress, which Paige, it hurts her ego even more because Paige is wonderful.
Yeah, so as Paige goes back in, Manny looks at Hazel and she's like, just kind of shrugs her shoulders.
Well, and there we go. Manny is so concerned with getting along with Paige for some reason right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't get it.
She's like choking up. She's crying. I hate that you hate me.
Why? Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we go to Craig's garage or Joey's garage, I guess. Ashley just happens to be hanging out there. I guess she's allowed in without Craig being home. We learn that Ashley's dad's being transferred to England to work for the BBC Six. And Ashley got Ashley a job there as well. So is it really this easy to get a job in show business?
I mean,
yeah, Jimmy just has to go to LA for a famous basketball camp. And then Marco goes to Africa and the Caribbean with Caitlin. Mm-hmm. And Ashley's just going to go work for the BBC in England. It's super easy, barely an inconvenience.
I mean, her dad is relatively famous, supposedly, because a lot of famous people in the Degrassi universe. And so he could say, like, okay, we want you to come here for the summer. And he could say, like, I'd like to bring my daughter. Can you give her some, can she push papers or do some bullshit work for the summer, right? So
well, she said, like, they call it I think she said tea girl, but I think that's a gopher.
Yeah.
So she'll, like, get people coffee and crap like that.
Yeah.
Or tea because it's England.
as racist.
Craig says she's not going because they're going to be too busy making music for Kevin Smith's movie, and Ashley's very happy about this, I guess, because she saw him with a random thing written on his hand, and based on all of his past mental things, she definitely believes this is a thing, right?
Yeah,
there's no way that he could have made this up. But anyway, she goes, I'm going behind the keyboard, and they get to work making the Kevin Smith music.
Yeah, and Craig seals the deal with the wonderful line, I told you weren't going to London. So,
perfect. We go to the mall, and we see that Mr. O was talking to Paige. We find out Mr. O is going to the Yukon for the summer planting trees. And he's also broke, and he's forced to eat only macaroni, selling stuff to buy the macaroni, because his parents cut him off.
He could not be, like, a more sad sack. Unappealing.
That's your prize, Paige. Right there.
Yeah. Paige is so horny watching this fucking loser. Like, he's just such a loser. Like,
yeah, he's such a loser. Absolutely. It's like he went from this, like, romantic, like, romanticized, like, older man or whatever, and it's just like behind all the smoke and mirrors. Like, he's just such a loser.
Yeah. But he's finally going to get paid $400 a day in free rent. So it's like $50 an hour for planting trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad, little gig.
Not for, a student. It's fucking great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. O says he will be back before you miss me. And Paige says the whole summer is forever. Yeah. Don't make it over dramatic, Paige. Marco interrupts. So Mr. O says he's going to get some drinks. And Paige says that she wants diet drinks because she wants the super small dress.
It was like, I was so confused by this. She's sitting there.
It made perfect sense to me.
What do you want to drink? And she says, diet, squeeze your dress. And I was like, yes. What did she say? Squeeze the dress? And I was like, we narrowed it down to like squeezy dress, but I didn't connect it back to the fact that she was squeezing into a dress until this moment.
Yeah.
And I was just when like, you what said the fuck that, is I a realized diet that
squeezy
too.
Dress.
Yeah, that's why. Okay. Yeah. Also, squeezy like I think you have to specify, like you can't just be like diet. I'll have what drink would you like? Diet.
Lots of flavors.
Yeah. You're like, okay, water. Sounds good.
Dress flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Paige starts belly aching to Marco how Mr. O's going to miss the prom. And like I said, there's no way he should have ever been considering going anyway. So the next scene, we see that Marco is ditching Manny for Paige, which I'm sure is really sitting well with Manny. And she's doing this at cheerleader practice. He's doing this at cheerleader practice. So
I mean,
why
that's
is
kind of a dick move on Marco.
It is a dick move, but why is he at cheerleader practice? He's not a cheerleader.
Marco's everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess he's the president.
He's the school president.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to check it out.
He has his thumb on the pulse.
But yeah, that's definitely a dick move, no doubt about it. So the girls want Manny to help with the routine. But Marco, before he goes, says, I'll vote for you for the queen. Paige decides she doesn't like Manny's routine and she's changing it up. And she says, Manny's like, I'll teach it to you. I'll go very slowly so you'll understand. Being a little patronizing there. Paige says, no, Manny can be the mascot instead. So again, poor JT out of a job. I guess Alex is out of the job now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burning through the mascots.
Yeah. And it's now falling upon Manny, who went from star cheerleader, who ran the group for 3 months, to being the mascot. And this is 2 hours before their big show.
So not only that, when there's protesting about this, she threatens to kick Shantae, Darcy, Hazel, and Manny off of the Spirit Squad. And I wrote two comments about this. Number one, it's the end of the year. Like,
who cares? Yeah.
And number two, where are the fucking adults? Like, seriously.
When the five of them say, no, you're off this team, not the five of us.
Yeah.
This show could be called, not Degrassi, it could be called, Where Are the Adults?
Like, why doesn't the whole Spirit Squad just be like, no, Paige, you're out. Like, fuck you, get out.
Mm-hmm.
Like they,
yeah, exactly.
Like everybody knows that Paige is full of shit. We can see how they react to her and they roll her eyes at her and they laugh behind her back. But then they're like, oh, but she has all the power because she's been declared by nobody as captain of the Spirit Squad. Like there's normally Paige's authority would come from an adult who gives her that authority.
Yeah.
But in this case, there's none. So why don't they just tell her to piss off?
Yeah, she runs the show and it's it. I thought this was a great line. So Hazel says, we've never caught you before, even though Manny and her are holding her in the throwing position in the opening credits to the fucking show. I guess maybe they do the pyramid and they don't throw. I don't know. But every episode we see this.
Uh-huh. They just let them down then. They're like, okay, easy. Yeah. Okay, get your feet back. There you go.
So Paige, like we said, we just talked about Paige says, you're all off the show. Unless Manny's an ascot, you're all out of the group. Which means there'd be no show. But again, they all listen to Paige instead of doing the obvious thing to say, no, you're out. Because you haven't been here for 3 months anyway. We go to Manny cleaning out her locker, and she tosses out a picture of Justin. At first, I thought it was Bieber, but then I was thinking maybe it's Timberlake.
I don't
know. I'm not sure during timelines who that would be.
Or yeah, I think Justin. It would have to be Timberlake.
Maybe Credible? No, I don't think it would be him.
Wrestler Justin
Credible.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
indie darling Justin Credible.
Justin Trudeau, huh?
That's right. There we go. So Darcy doesn't like that she's throwing that picture away. She also says she doesn't like Paige, makes a comment about falling off her high horse. So they decide they're going to come up with a plan, what they're going to do. And we get the trope where they're kind of coming up with a plan and they're whispering and they're like, oh, and then we're going to do this. So you don't really know what they're saying.
I love what they're saying is, we're not going to catch her and we're going to make her fucking have an injury. Like, that's what their plan is.
This is diabolical shit.
Yeah. Like, it's fucked up what they're planning. We're going to we're gonna give her a serious injury is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see how serious everyone treats it when it happens.
We'll see how it plays out. Yeah. So right next scene, we go to the gym. Ms. H declares the school year over. She's like, no exams this year, everybody. Because I don't recall any TV time devoted to exams.
Well, in the last episode, Spinner made reference to wanting to write his exams, and she said no. She should have been like, because there are none.
We're not doing them this year.
I mean, you know what? Give the kids a fucking break. Like, someone got shot and killed. Someone else is, you know, in a wheelchair. There's STDs throughout the school. Maybe just say, you know what? This year, no exams. Like,
yeah, I turned it around, so there's no exams.
Yeah.
There's an inexplicable smell of lighter fluid throughout the school, but nobody knows why.
Yeah.
So lo and behold, who was here but Kevin Smith? Of course he's there. Why wouldn't he be there on the last day of school with a camera? Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. So he's checking out the location during school hours with Caitlin. Why is she here? Not doing a school, not doing a news story. She has absolutely no authority to be here, but here she is.
I have an explanation. I wrote it in my notes.
Okay.
Because I guess they can just be there, is what I said. So
she's an alum.
Yeah.
To the old school.
Yeah.
Not this one. So Kevin Smith's there with his camera. Mrs. H introduces the Spirit Squad for the big routine. So Darcy and the other girl are getting ready to hold Paige up for the big toss. They do this routine. What was the other girl's name again? Sorry.
Darcy and Shantae.
Shantae, okay. So they hold her for the big toss. And when they're about to throw up, they look at each other and they nod their heads. And they pitch her up in the air and they just let her drop. And she's there screaming in pain and they're laughing. So it's pretty mean, actually.
She's like even hysterical, like screaming.
Well, she broke her leg.
Yeah. She broke her leg and she's continuing to manhandle it as she's lying there on the ground holding it in that way.
This whole thing is fucking stupid as fuck. Like...
Why make this big lead up to the secret thing they're going to do when it's actually just like super obvious?
Here's what we're going to do here. And then they have to plan the coordination. Like the coordination is don't catch her. And like there's no like let's pretend that we're going to catch her, but then we don't. Like they don't even fucking try. So everybody in the room sees them throw her up in the air and just let her drop to the ground.
Throwing
Paige into the void. The ground screaming in pain. And most of the room is just like, first of all, the cheerleaders are laughing. They're like, the rest of the room is kind of like, oh my, like that was, you know, interesting. Caitlin says to Kevin Smith, like, so that's the gym. Like no one gives a shit about this assault that's happened.
Like it's such a bad fall. I'm surprised Paige's broken bone isn't sticking out through her leg. And everybody's like, oh, this is pretty funny. It's crazy.
It's
nice. Manny doing that dance where she's doing a circle with her fists.
They're just like, someone got shot. Like, this is really nothing. Fuck it. Like, so no matter what happens over the course of the school year, like, you would imagine that if there was a cheerleader routine and either on purpose or not, during the routine, one of the cheerleaders fell and broke her leg in front of the whole school, that would be something you would remember about high school forever, right?
Yeah. And, like, you would stop.
Yeah. And this is just treated like hijinks. So,
great.
Yeah.
Everyone's great stuff. So we go to Kevin Smith's music guy, he's just like this pompous ass music guy. He's very unamused with Ashley and Craig's music. And why aren't the rest of Downtown Sasquatch with him? Are they split up at this point, or is it because Jimmy's in a wheelchair and Spinner's kicked out?
Yeah, and Marco is. Going to Africa, so
he's going to Africa. That's right. So he's had the band.
Well, they had a falling out over the recording session, and nobody wants to talk to Spinner anymore.
Never got the band back together.
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy, his
name's Dave. Yes. He's played by a guy named Adam Reed, who is originally from Nepean, Courtney.
Oh.
And what else?
Ooh.
What other credits does he have?
Well, he was a cast member for many years on You Can't Do That on Television.
Woo!
That's why you sent that in the. That's why you sent that in the credit. Okay.
I don't know about that. Ah, blue shell slime. Linda standing over me with a slime bucket.
Also, it seems like he was a little bit of a prodigy in this scenario. Apparently, he co-wrote 30 episodes of You Can't Do That on Television when he was only 16 years old.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, how hard is that? I heard that.
Barfy Burger.
Instead of Barfy, who ran the restaurant, instead of them taking out a hamburger from under his armpit, let him take it out of his pants. Okay? And they're like, I love it.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. The kid's going to find out where the burger came from. Then they're going to throw up over the counter, and Barth is going to get a bucket to catch it in, because that's the secret sauce.
I hear that.
Yeah. What a great writer.
That show.
Yeah.
More recently, this guy's credits, he's been on The Good Doctor. He had a recurring role on the Lost in Space reboot. He did some voice work on a My Little Pony Friendship is Magic for you bronies up there.
Yes.
Yeah, bronies.
What's up? He was in the unauthorized Saved by the Bell story.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
And he is also a fairly busy director of commercials.
There we go.
There you go.
This music guy is not being very nice, and he's probably wondering why Kevin Smith sent a bunch of kids to his studio without ever hearing any of the music. And he says he wants Husker Du, is that what he said?
Yeah, he wants Husker Du meets the Meat Puppets and a little bit of Van Halen. That's what he asks for, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Minneapolis's own.
Yep.
Husker Du, yeah.
Husker Du.
How realistic is that trio or that combination coming together?
I don't know much about the Meat Puppets. All the most I know about the Meat Puppets is from Nirvana covering
Nirvana
at their Unplugged.
Exactly.
But I don't know a whole lot about them. Husker Du is like Minneapolis. Like they were went concurrently with the Replacements. I'm a big The Replacements fan, but Husker Du I don't know a whole lot about. But I just know they're like kind of I don't know, punk kind of three chord straightforward kind of music. But
and the idea,
I think that's probably a pretty realistic trio. Then
the idea here is that he's supposed to be this pompous asshole, so he's throwing out Husker Du and Meat Puppets, because that's what you would say if you were a fucking stuck-up music snob.
Yes,
stuck-up music snob, or just telling Craig and Ashley exactly what everyone is thinking.
Yeah. I think a lot of this writing had to be Kevin Smith, because earlier when he's talking to Craig about the music that he wants him to write, he's like, I want it to be emo. I don't want it to be like Weezer knockoff shit. So he throws in a Weezer reference, and then this music guy gets pissed off and calls Ashley a whining girl impersonating Kate Bush.
Kate Bush, yeah.
And Craig a Bon Jovi wannabe. Neither of these things were in their song. Like,
yeah,
we heard their song. There's no Bon Jovi. There's no Kate Bush whatsoever in that music.
Kate Bush is a deep pull. Like, that's a weird thing to say to kids. They're like, what? Like, I didn't know about Kate Bush personally until I was like in my 30s.
Yeah.
And she's fantastic. One of the best female singers, I think, of all time. But it's such a weird pull. Yeah, it's very Kevin Smith-esque.
It is. And then fucking Craig and Ashley, who are supposed to be too cool for school, right? And know all these bands and have Ramones t-shirts and blah, blah, blah. Craig is like, I guess we're no Beef Puppets, so. Yeah. Which, I mean, I could understand if they didn't know the Meat Puppets music, but you would think they would have heard the name Meat Puppets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, they're left thinking that they didn't get the gig. So we go to Manny and Emma. They're at Pretty Pretty. Manny's trying on a different dress because she's not allowed to wear the pink one. It's Paige Toller.
There are also only two dresses available in all of the GTA. It's black friendly one or the pink roughly one.
Yep, that tracks.
That tracks. So Manny's like, I don't like this dress. I want the other one. And Emma's like, just get the other one. Paige's got a broken leg. She's probably not going. And Manny smiles and says, yeah, you know what? That's what I'll do. So we go to the prom. JT and Liberty are ticket takers or they're greeters or they're hosts. I'm not really sure what their role is.
They're taking care of the ballots for King and Queen.
Okay.
And again, so we know JT is there, but again, wasn't the mascot. So who knows what the hell happened there.
That's good. Like I said, he's a director now, so he's too...
He's too busy making out with Liberty in the hot tub.
And again, like, no consequences for any of these students for the thing that happened to Paige. Like, not even a conversation with Miss Hatzilakis, right? They're just all at prom now, and...
Everything's good.
Yeah.
Well, and also Manny, who was in the mascot costume, was nowhere near any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Paige apparently knows that Manny...
Orchestrated the whole thing.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Darcy runs up. Oh, yeah. Ugh. So they tell JT and Liberty tell Manny that the cheese buffet opens at 10. So they do a lot of talking about this cheese buffet. Danny runs up and says she feels terrible. I mean, Darcy, excuse me. Manny says, she'll get over it. Legs heal. Worry about that.
Like, this is crazy.
If you're in a prank war with somebody, the moment a leg is broken, the war is over. Like, you've gone too far.
The line has gone across at this point. So
that
Darcy
was exactly the plot of one of the very first Babysitter Club books. I believe it was Claudia and the Bad Joke, something like that.
Ooh, okay.
And well, there you go. The leg got broken, the war was over.
So they're getting their ideas to now. So Darcy still feels bad, so Manny says that they will vote for Paige for prom queen. And Manny says she's going to dance with Toby as punishment for what she did. Or Toby. Uh-huh. The pity dances.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, thinking about Toby as a real person, I don't feel bad for him because he's horrible. But I feel bad for Toby the character. Like, I feel bad that this is the direction they went with Toby.
That it's punishment to dance with him?
Well, and he's just being so gross.
Yeah.
Like, so gross. Like, everyone who looks at him is just like, ugh.
Yeah. Yep.
And, like, he's the punishment.
Yeah.
He's the...
That's actually his nickname. Toby, like, the punishment Isaacs.
She looked at him like he was something on the bottom of her shoe.
Yep.
You know, like, he's... there's no redeeming qualities for him. And the fact that, like, people look at him that way and he's also gross and creepy.
He deserves
it. Like, if you think about, like, the first season, he was sort of like this, like, you know, fresh-faced little Toby, you know, and now he's just like,
I mean, he's...
Like, the writer just gave up on him.
Well, he's incel. Like, that's... He's got those... Yes. And again, we're going to get to it, but, like, yeah, like, he's got those tendencies, which is weird.
We see Paige showing up to the prom. She's bitching about how all the prom she's gone to sucked. Talks about the Billy Ray Cyrus one. She talks about one where she was sunburned. And they arrive in a wheelchair-accessible bus because Jimmy's with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going down, and Paige is there bitching about everything and how her life sucks and everything else. So Hazel finally stands up.
Sorry, I have to say this. So they roll up in the wheelchair-accessible bus because Drake got shot and he's in a wheelchair. He can't walk anymore. He's going to this prom anyways. Paige, as she is being, like, the ramp is lowering her down, is bitching while he's sitting behind her, and she's like, this is the worst prom ever, poor me. Like,
well, you know she's been bitching the entire ride.
Like, while Drake is sitting there, like, what the fuck? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So terrible. Hazel can't take it anymore and tells Paige to shut her pie hole.
The crowd goes wild.
That's right. She says she wants the prom to be special for Jimmy, and Paige is going on about herself. She says Manny stepped up and ran the spirit squad while she was banging the teachers and only wanted to thank you. Paige is like, but she was mean to me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good fucking comeback, Paige. So Hazel says, why did you have to be meaner? And there we go. So
yeah, and Paige learns her lesson, and this is the part where Paige learns, like, when her best friend says, why do you have to be always more horrible? Paige is going to change her ways, right? Like, this is the pivotal conversation in the show, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has an anger management problem.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's going to get better from here.
Yeah. Awesome. High fives all around. Narbo's Broomhead's crew. Okay, good.
So we're at the slow dance time, and the song playing is
"I Feel Like a..." No, it's not. No. Yeah, it's not that song.
Love it, Jam. Next week on the Super Hits Podcast.
Too Good a Friend by Ricky Franks.
Okay. Oh, that's not the song at all.
That's not what I was thinking. Toby's dancing with Manny, and I'm sure Toby has a huge boner.
I wrote the same thing.
Manny thanks him for the dance, but Toby's like, maybe you'll like the next song too. And at this point, I'm starting to lose my feeling bad for Toby
as he clutches onto her and does not let her go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. He continues to rub himself against her.
Yeah.
So all my poor Toby feelings have now subsided.
Can I lick you on the face, please? Just once.
Yeah, it's a little one. So Manny manages to get Emma to substitute in for the next song. Toby's perfectly fine with that. All right, that's fine.
Toby's it's like, bitches are bitches. Like, they're interchangeable. All right. Hole's a hole to Toby.
Yep. So.
It's really gross.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Then we see Kevin Smith at Caitlin at the prom. So what in God's name? What the fuck are they doing here? Like, seriously?
Well, he's flirting with her at prom, yeah, too.
Jesus. Oh, he loves it.
Yeah. So
Kevin says that Caitlin is there because she is there as like Craig's parent ish.
Really? Person. Who? Like, which parents went to the dance with you?
Yeah, I loved it when my mom would come to my dances, my high school grade 12 or grade 10 to 12 dances.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, mom.
There's something as like such thing as chaperoning. Maybe she said she would chaperone.
Mm. Well, she doesn't seem too concerned. She's just like strolling around. Like, I don't know.
Again, like if Kevin Smith is walking around with Miss Hatzilakis, then at the very least we're like, okay, he wants to shoot there. She's the authority at the school, right? Yes. Neither of these two have any authority to decide if he's going to shoot there, but they're just there.
Well, and we saw, you know, Craig get sort of tongue-tied when he met Kevin Smith, because it was like, oh my God, I met Kevin Smith. And then, like, he's here walking through this dance of teenagers, and no one is batting an eye.
Because they don't know who he is.
Exactly. And weren't you the guy with the handy cam on the cheerleaders, and you followed them all the way up the track and back the track? It's like,
Not only do they not react to him, like, in this universe, Caitlin is supposed to be pretty famous, too. And though she's always at the school, they're just like, oh, fuck. She, like, I you know, a situation where it's like the first time they're there, it's pretty cool, but then it's always them. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like running into Burton Cummings in Winnipeg. Like, the first time you're at a bar and Burton Cummings is there playing the slot machine, you're just like, oh, that's fucking cool, it's Burton Cummings. But then you run into him at 7-Eleven, and then you see him in his sweatpants at Salisbury House, and after a while you're just like, all right.
It's really true.
I'm in my sweatpants at the Salisbury House. That's it. Okay, Burton. Okay, relax, buddy.
It's true.
Okay, I'll relax. Yeah. See you at the 7-Eleven.
But even if he's there, like checking out shooting locations, what, you wouldn't go in this fucking middle of the school prom. You go like on a Sunday morning when there's nobody there, right?
Yeah, like why do you need to go during prom?
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Dirty.
So Kevin says to Caitlin that if I knew you were taking me to prom, I would have bought you a corsage. Ugh. And Caitlin's like, I'm only here to show you the place. This isn't a date. So she says that she has the authority to show her to school for some reason. Because reasons. Kevin says, my prom date did the same thing. Yuck, yuck.
Uh-huh.
We are out at the ticket place, ballot booth or whatever. Paige and Manny running each other. Manny says, oh my God, you're indestructible. It's kind of funny. Manny's about to apologize, but Paige cuts her off and starts freaking out about Manny wearing the same dress. And Liberty's trying to defuse the situation and says, well, you got to put your ballot in the box, Paige. And right when we think Paige is about to explode, she kind of grabs her composure and tells Manny that she hopes she wins.
JT says, maybe you can be the world's first matching prom queen set, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
Liberty actually made me laugh in this because, like, as JT's like joking around, like, Liberty's reading the room and being like, that's no. Uh-huh.
So we're back at the dance. Craig and Ashley are rocking out. And Kevin Smith's in the back hooting and hollering and doing the old word, I'm not worthy, and all this kind of crazy stuff. Like, dude, seriously?
Yeah, like, I can't. I fucking can't.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes no sense. Like,
the song by Ashley and Craig is called Nothing at All.
I couldn't tell from when they were singing, you got nothing at all, you got nothing at all. Kevin Smith's favorite song. Woo, yeah!
Like, Kevin Smith, like, wrote it, or he's in this, like, he was supposed to be one of the students there, not one of the, not this 35-year-old man.
Kevin Smith, who met Prince, is enamored with Craig and Ashley.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So anyway, they, we see Paige now, she's running the, cooking up a scheme here. She's, photocopying multiple ballots for Manny. So what can we be doing here? Craig assumes that.
And again, I don't know how Paige knows that, like, Manny had anything, like, she's so overly angry that you get the impression that she knows that Manny had something to do with her injury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, how would she know? Psychic. She has Emma's psychic abilities.
Manny should have been like, you know what, how much I had to do with the accident, Paige? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So
that clears that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Craig and Ashley, they leave from their performance, and they think they did excellent. So Craig assumes this means she's not going to England, but she says she's going. She had a moment and says she wanted to go ever since she saw Mary Poppins. And Craig finally accepts the fact that they're going, that she's going to England. And Ashley says, all right, let's go hit up that cheese buffet before Heather Sinclair eats all of her body. So Ashley goes out to the cheese buffet, and Craig is sitting there. So the last time Craig was in this situation, I think it was Terry, who comforted him at the prom or at the big year-end dance. But she's back at her home planet now.
So we're gonna figure out who's gonna do the role, really getting full.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on that planet.
They're different home planets.
There should be a great spin-off series, Degrassi Home Planet. It's just...
Yeah. All the We Hardly Know Yees.
Yeah.
The plant is there. That's the most recent one.
Yeah, that's right.
The one spinner throughout last episode.
Yep.
Chester makes room for the plant because he was the one before that.
And his brothers.
Yeah. His brothers, yeah.
The Chesters, yeah.
Chesters, plural.
We go to Marco. He's giving a speech thanking people for the dance, including the sponsor Pantene. So I don't know about you, but my school dance did not have corporate sponsorship. Did your guys?
Nope. This dance was brought to you by... Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So but we know from the media episode in the first season that they have no problems with getting sponsorships.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when the sign looks like it was printed on one of those old printers with, like, that the matrix. Perforated edges where you had to rip off the edges. Yeah. And, like, Marco's print dead. One. Yeah.
I print three, print to death.
Print one mm-hmm. letter per sheet and tape
per sheet, together. Yeah, I do just tape my letter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So good.
So Kevin Smith's in there in the audience. He's clapping the Marco speech again. Why the fuck would you be doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
King and Queen time. The King is none other than Jimmy or Drake.
Well, we know why.
Yeah, it's quite right. Yeah.
They should have made his wheelchair the Queen.
Yeah, that's right. And the Queen, thanks to Paige vote tampering, or maybe she would have won anyway, was Manny. So Manny originally looked super happy about it. So she goes up to get her crown, and Paige jumps on stage, and she's going to give him the tiara. And she squats Marco's foot with her crutches while she does it. And when she goes to put the tiara on Manny, she pretends to fall and grabs her by the dress. And this thing completely rips off, just like the NBA players when they rip off their warm-up pants. Like, would this happen? I don't think it would.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not an expert on... I am an expert on taking off prom dresses.
Yeah. You're such an expert.
Yeah. Woo! Not anymore, though. I'm an old man now. So, right, I mean, yeah. When I was younger. Or if I'm doing role play. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. So Marco goes to try and help. I'm not really sure what he could do. He's like, oh, man. He goes, walking. Paige trips him up with the fucking crutch, which I thought was pretty funny. And Manny falls off the stage. And who's here to catch her from falling? Who's the hero? Kevin fucking Smith.
Ugh.
Because why not?
Like, they're a little negligee. It's like, oh, God, this is bad.
Well, I get, like, you're in high school, so you're, like, embarrassed easily and stuff like that. But, like, Manny literally wears less than that walking down the halls most times. Like, it's not like she was topless or, like, in a thong. Like, she was wearing a full-on outfit under that dress.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. And, but the fact that Kevin Smith was there to catch him, I mean, why? Why are you that close to the stage? No, it's baffling. But anyway, so Kevin looks at Caitlin and says, we're definitely going to be shooting at this school. As Manny runs off crying.
Because Caitlin decides that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Caitlin's like, yes, Kevin Smith, you have my permission to shoot at Degrassi.
Yeah.
Well, and that line is pretty gross. Like,
yeah.
He like has like a scantily clad 16-year-old who falls into his arms and he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to shoot here. Like, there's weird old man creepy sexual connotations to that.
Surprised he didn't say hubba hubba ding ding.
Awooga, awooga. It is not the last time in this episode too where he makes reference to this incident and his horniness about it.
So Paige is laughing at the chaos that she created, but she starts laughing when she sees that Marco's not very amused by it. Now Kevin Smith's walking through the school and he has like a stage crew or a assistant or somebody there with him. And he's talking about all the shots he's going to do. And he's got one of those little things you look through and he sees Craig there and says, get off my set. And then he decides that he's going to play the Terry role here and have the heart to heart with Craig.
Mm.
Yeah. He asks him why he's not promming it up inside. And Craig said that their music guy hated him and his girlfriend is going to England. Okay, Miss Smith goes, oh, I hear you're having girl trouble here. That's what I'm hearing. And Craig seems blown away that Kevin would have girl troubles in the past. He says he's a fat guy from New Jersey, so of course he has. He says he doesn't even get the girls in the movies. He always winds up with Jay. And once it was a monkey.
That is true.
That which is true. It's kind of funny. Kevin says when you're heartbroken, you got to throw yourself into your work and go write a song for a movie, my movie. He's like, what part of this don't you understand? You got the job. Craig's very confused. He says, your music guy said I sucked. And Kevin said some reference about he cried because some band split up. I can't remember
Creed.
Which band it was.
He cried when Creed broke up.
Yeah.
Another snobbish music reference. Again, Kevin Smith totally wrote that line.
Yeah, for sure. Craig says, Kevin says, it's my movie and you're in it. And Craig's all happy that he's going to be writing a movie for a major theatrical or a major production. Movie production.
That's a stretch.
That's a pretty good first job.
And Kevin Smith says he caught the prom queen, so he has huge karmic debt to pay back. So he is letting Craig write this because he was a lucky guy and got to put his hands on a half-naked student. So
underage student.
So he got paid forward.
Yeah. Craig also, in this conversation, makes reference to liking Kevin Smith's film where the guys hang out outside the 7-Eleven.
He goes, that really narrows it down.
Which
that was a good line.
I laughed out loud at that.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
He should have said, I like the one where they're outside the 7-Eleven and they go, mother, motherfuck, mother, motherfuck, fuck, motherfuck, motherfuck, noich, noich, noich.
Smoking weed.
Smoked the blunt. 15 bucks, little man. Put that shit in my hand. My jungle love.
That shit's from the '80s.
And also, by the way, Kevin Smith having this conversation with Craig, it's implied, and he's gonna flat out say it in the next episode that he is single. So that was one creative difference where he was like, "Could you write me a single in this movie?" Like, even though he's married, and anyways,
and speaks about it a lot.
Yes, he does.
About being married.
So Kevin Smith has a couple of books, one of which is pretty much just a diary that he wrote over the course of a couple of years, and he makes multiple references in the thing to like sometimes going on his computer and looking at scantily clad pictures of his wife and getting off to them. And I thought, one, gross, and number two, bullshit. Like, you're looking at other ladies in porn. Like, don't fucking lie.
That's what I was doing, honey. Yeah. Promise.
It was you. I only jerk off to you. Come on.
That's right.
What a load of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see Manny in the bathroom. Paige comes in with the dress that she tore off. Manny's very pissed and says, "Where do you get off coming in here? How can you even talk to me?" Which, you know, I kind of understand. Paige goes on the offensive, and they exchange all the horrible things they did to each other. Paige goes, "You broke my leg." To which Manny replies, "You made me the mascot."
Same to as Paige. those are equal things.
That's right. And then Paige comes back with the really, "You made me look stupid." It's a good one.
You did that yourself, Paige.
Yeah. Manny's like, "You took credit for my work." And she goes, and Paige goes, "You got Matt fired." And again, I put, "No, you did." "No, she didn't." Manny says, "I don't remember but you started it." And I believe it started when Paige told people Manny was pregnant after confiding in her, if I'm not mistaken. So Paige then comes back with the best zinger of them all. Says, "Manny made her look like a full fat spaz." What a burn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Manny tells her to shut up and calls her jealous. Paige disagrees. And then they stare at each other, or stare at themselves in the mirror, and I guess they have a moment. I guess this is where the peace was made.
Yeah, like they fucking say all these lines, and then there's this moment of silence.
Yeah. And Manny's like, "All right, don't drink anything, because the girl's got to drink Spike with laxatives." And she's like, "Thanks for the tip." Paige says, "At least it's summer." Manny says, "Summer is good." And there we are. The feud is over.
What?
That's right. It makes no sense.
Okay, so there's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart gets hit by a car, mm-hmm. right? And then they think that, and it's Mr. Burns that hits him. So then they think they're going to get this big, you know, check for what happened. And then they don't. And then Mr. Burns ends up feeling bad about it. So he gets them this big fucking, like, it's a, like a big, like, Native American head as a gift in the end. And so all this shit happens. And then at the end of the episode, the Simpsons are sitting on a couch and they're like, "Well, what was the lesson from the episode?" You know, actually, no, you know what? It was not that one. It was when Bart gave Mr. Burns blood to save his life. That's it. Bart gives Mr. Burns blood to save his life. And then all this shit happens. They want the money, blah, blah, blah. But when they're talking about it at the end, they're like, "Well, the lesson here is, you know, no good deed goes unrewarded." And they're like, "Well, no, we didn't," and blah, blah, blah. And finally, I think it's Bart that's like, "No, it was just a bunch of stuff that happened." Like, that's what this episode was. That's how I feel about this episode. Like, mm-hmm. nothing happened. They got into all these feuds, and then at the end, they didn't make up. And then they were just like, "Well, now it's summer. Summer's good." Like, mm-hmm. this was just a waste of time.
Yeah. This was a rough one.
I think that the intention might have been that they made up. I mean, we won't know until next season, obviously. But, like, what I kind of got from it is that Manny was, like, ready to make up. Like, she was ready to make up. And Paige was not. And then Hazel bitched her out for always having to, like, one-up her feuds or whatever. And so, at the end, Manny, like, extended the olive branch of, like, "Don't drink anything because you'll shit yourself." And then Paige, like, finally accepted that olive branch without having to continue the feud.
I believe that. Yeah. I mean, in real life, when Paige breaks her leg, that's the part where the girls are like, "Fuck, we took this too far," and one way or another, the feud ends, right? Like, but, like, again, Hazel has this, what we would think would be a pivotal conversation with Paige, where she's like, "You have to be the one that's so horrible. Why don't you change your ways? Like, you're the bad mm-hmm. person." Then Paige goes on to do another thing, another horrible thing. So she learns nothing. It, like, this is fucking stupid.
It is so stupid. And I agree. Like, I thought Hazel's, like, you know, comment about, like, or Paige was like, "You, like, she was horrible to me." And she's like, "Why do you always have to be more horrible?"
And then Paige is more horrible. And then
yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was just such a good line. Like, it was so, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was so great. And then Paige just goes and ruins it.
I think we've lost, like, a realization moment from Paige in some way. We get a regret moment with Manny and Darcy talking about how like, oh my god, her leg's broken, da 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 da. And like, we don't get the sense that Manny is going to be continuing this feud at this point. But like, of course, Paige is like on the warpath and keeps on going and going and going. But we never get that like moment from her where it's just like, holy shit, I went too far. Holy shit, two wrongs don't make a right. Like, we never get that moment with her. So I think that's why it's so ambiguous at the end as to, are they, did they make up?
It's like they ran out of time. They're like, fuck, show ended. Like,
yes. So,
well,
they make it up next time.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that they're both so similar.
Are they?
And I mean, kind of. Not, I don't know. Maybe that's just my opinion.
I can't even try to analyze it. I just think it's like Alan said, a bunch of so shit petty. Happened.
Yeah, lots of
Manny is a petty person, but I do think Paige is a petty person.
Lots of the commentary on the Degrassi fandom page is about, I was on Manny's side until she broke Paige's leg, which, again, like, that's kind of the moment, right? So
mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah,
they're so working stiff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too stiff.
Yeah. I thought that the Kevin Smith stuff was very forced and stupid. Like the saving Manny stuff and going to the prom, it didn't make any sense.
Also, at no point in this last conversation between Manny and Paige where they're like, you did this, you did this, you did this. At no point is Paige like, my boyfriend cheated on me with you. Like, you took my boyfriend 7 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
It's not nearly as bad as being a full fat spaz or whatever.
And again, like, yeah, Kevin Smith, like, if I was a student at that school and that dude was just always around, I would be like, this is weird. Like, everybody should be like, this is weird.
Yeah. Just yeah. I don't know.
And in high school, it'd be like, that's somebody's dad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's par for the course in this episode, right? Because nothing carries over from episode to episode. So, sure. Kevin Smith shows up in an episode. Makes sense.
Yeah, and then...
Well, and I guess we'll see what happens the next couple episodes as well.
Like, it's redemption. Kind
of, it's setting up why Kevin Smith is there and why they're filming a movie.
Well, for everybody that's listening, if you want to know if things get better and if we like what happens in the next couple of episodes, you don't even have to wait for the episodes to come out. Join us when we record them live on April 15th, Good Friday, 7:30 Eastern. We will get started. Go to Facebook and find Narbos and Broomheads, and we'll have the event page set up there for you to join us for the fun. And yes, I'm sure we will all praise the last two episodes for how awesome they are, right?
You're going to redeem it.
Yeah.
Going to redeem it.
Make your Good Friday a great Friday. Narrows the Roofheads.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll have Craig's favorite band, the Beef Puppets.
Oh. Yes. Special guest.
And special guest, the beefer, Mr. Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, yes.
Strutting and cutting.
Yeah.
Strutting and cutting, baby.
All right. So before we go, let's quickly go around the horn. So I am Barry. Follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn. Ted.
Yeah, to say Y3 on the Instagram machine. Why don't you? Alan.
Slip with 5 eyes on all of the social medias at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. If you want to email us, Narbos and Broomheads on TikTok, which is where we seem to be the most popular these days because we're, you know, we're in with the kids and up with the times, right?
Fellow kids.
I think everybody's moved on from TikTok, or they're going to, because TikTok was like a few years ago. But anyways, that's where you can find us. And over to Courtney.
What is there to move on to?
Courtney 1293 on Instagram, everybody.
Yes. Jesus, I was just asking a question. But yes, find me there.
And find me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT.
So on behalf of the entire crew, thanks for listening, and we hope you join us for the live recording on April 15th. Don't you dare miss it.
Peace.
Baby.
Bye.
Well, I said I told you my love. I was meant to do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about pictures out of my house.
Maybe it would.
I would walk around the cafe, just to get caught my dreams.
Yeah, oh.